We present Shouse a Secret to the Stone by Jane Cassidy, with Stella McCusker as Phil and Pat Laffin as George.
Yeah. I'll have a full Irish breakfast, young lady.
Yeah.
Just cut off the horns, wipe its ass, and throw it on the plate.
I'll have the scrambled eggs on toast, please. And would you like tea or coffee?
Coffee, honey. When did you ever hear of an American drinking tea? Well, thanks be to Christ, there's no sign of her yet. Maybe we'll have peace to eat our breakfast alone for once on this damned holiday.
Please keep your voice down, they might hear.
And you wouldn't want to hurt the feelings of your great friend, Phil.
No, it's heaven I wouldn't want to be hurt.
Poor bastard, if it wasn't for him, I'd never have agreed to come on this holiday with him. God, but he has a dog's life. He's probably up there now listening to her. Nag, nag, nag.
Oh,
Kevin, me old friend. The top of the morning to you. Sit here on my right hand. And Philomena, Queen of Ireland, on my left. And what does that make me? God himself.
Phil, haven't you called me Phil for the last 25 years? When did you ever hear me called anything else?
Yesterday, my dear Phil, yesterday. Your cousin from Dublin threw her arms around you and covered her long-lost Philomena with kisses.
That gave me a surprise too, Phil. I always thought your name was Philippa. I was christened Philomena Mary Magdalene Meekin 70-odd years ago, and I have never had any reason to be ashamed of my name. I became Phil when I went to the States because the Americans couldn't get their fat tongues around Philomena. And I gave up being Phil Meekin for the sake of my beloved Kevin when I became his wife 30 years ago. Isn't that right, Kevin?
Scrambled egg on toast?
Oh, yeah, yeah, here, please, thanks.
Right?
No, I hope you wipe this ass well enough, my girl. Slap it here.
Would you like to order, ma'am?
Oh, just a bowl of porridge and grapefruit. Oh, fresh grapefruit. It must be fresh.
Yes, madam. And you, sir?
I'll have
it. Now, don't be ordering a fried Kevin, or you'll be crucified later on the stomach pain. Why don't you have porridge?
I'll have a scrambled egg on toast, please, and a pot of tea.
Oh, coffee for me, please, and wheaten bread. Not a toasted pan.
Certainly, madam.
Well, Phil, we thought that you and Kevin decided to take a long, lazy morning in bed. Kayla and I were just planning a quiet walk around the town on our own.
Well, when have you ever known us to lie in, George? I was busy on the phone for the last half hour making arrangements for us all to visit Knocknoe Way.
Knocknoe Way? Oh, is that the place to see the Virgin Mary and all that jazz?
No, Knocknoe Way is a mountain, and today we're going to climb it.
You may be going to climb it, but Kate and I are going shopping. Anyway, you can't drag Kev up a bloody mountain. The man is not fit for it, are you, Kev?
Well, I must admit, I'm not feeling the best, George. I haven't slept well all week, and it's all this moving from one bed to another. It doesn't suit me.
And whose bed did you move into last night?
Kevin, maybe you should be easy today. This is our only day off. Tomorrow, we'll be on the coach again, heading down the west.
I thought we'd settled all this, Kevin McElroy. We want to give George and Kate the experience of their lives. There's no point coming all the way to Ireland just to sit in coaches and hotel lounges. Kevin and I are going to take you to Knocknoe Way to experience the real Ireland.
Well, are you in commission for this from the Irish Tourist Board?
Anyway, so I can just hope for shopping, Kate. Galway's the place. We'll be there in a couple of days. Today, we're all going to take a gentle walk on one of the most magical hills in Ireland.
I thought you said it was a mountain. Maybe it shrunk. It must be all the goddamn rain.
Thank you.
You were asking about Merville, missus. Look, that says over there. William Butler Yeats used to spend his holidays here as a youngster. Is that a fact? Now, aren't you lucky that Mr. Yeats took his family here on holiday all those years ago, or the Sligo tourist industry would have been finished before it started?
Right enough, sir. Looking at it was for us.
We were at his grave yesterday, you know.
Stop.
But we're not at nothing to eat.
Stop, I tell you. Caramore. The hours my father spent wandering here.
Interested in the tombs, was he?
Tombs? Ah, jeez, Phil. Is this a tour of Ireland or a tour of cemeteries?
This is the largest concentration of megalithic tombs in Europe.
I never knew you were into archaeology, Phil.
Well, I'm not, but my father was. He used to talk a lot about it.
Ah, he'd have been a great fan of our Queen Maeve then.
Oh, please drive on.
Now, mind yourselves climbing that hill, and don't forget to bring a stone up to put in the cairn.
We have to carry a stone all the way up there?
Yeah, sure, won't it bring you good luck? Ach, any wee stone will do the trick. Mind, you don't be thinking of taking a stone off the cairn and bringing it back to America as a wee souvenir. Mm. The curse of Queen Maeve falls on anyone who takes a stone off her grave. I wouldn't touch a stone up there for love nor money. Aye, well, now, enjoy yourselves. I'll be here, engine revving, at the stroke of 4.
Well, now, Paulina, another fine mess you got us in.
Oh, come on, George, be a sport. It's only a wee stroll for a man of your power.
You're talking to a man who was a scratch golfer not so many years ago. Ah, oh, Kate, for God's sake, you're not going to carry that rock all the way to the top. You don't believe in all this hokey-pokey, do you?
I'll carry it for you, Kate.
Kevin, no, you're not.
Well, I'd like to, Kate.
Kevin, I'm concerned about you. None of us is getting any younger. If you'd rather sit down here somewhere, I'll gladly keep you company.
Kate, there's nothing I'd like more than to sit on a rock in the sunshine with you, but... You know, Phil has her heart set on this expedition. She's been talking about it ever since we landed in Ireland.
Really? I haven't heard her mention
it. Well, you know, in our room.
Oh, of course. I know you two are very close.
Hey, come on, you two. You can't sit there in the sun all day. We have to make a start of it to get to the top by lunchtime. You didn't leave the sandwiches in the taxi, did you, George?
No, Philly, I did not.
Don't call me Philly. It makes me feel like a whore.
And a fine Philly you are.
George, behave yourself. A man of your age.
There's a few miles left of me yet, darling. Hey, Phil, aren't you going to bring a rock up to the top?
I've already... I mean, this isn't my first time.
We both know it isn't your first time.
Oh, that's enough, George. A brisk climb is just what you need to cool you off. The first time you climb Knocknarea, you get a wish. If you add a stone to the cairn up there.
What you don't slip, Phil? If you roll into the heather, I catch you in my arms.
I really had no idea she was called Philomena. I'm nearly sure she told me her name was Philippa.
Phil hates the name. She thinks it's too Bog Irish or something.
Is that why she wasn't overcome with joy at seeing that cousin of hers?
Kate, it's not like you to be unkind.
I'm sure I never meant to be unkind about Phil. You know she's one of my oldest friends.
Of course, Kate, if it wasn't for you, I sometimes wonder what would become of her. Of us.
Is my friendship that important to you, Kevin?
I'd be dead long ago if it weren't for you.
Dead? But...
Hey, you two! Cut out the gabbing and get a move on.
Will you look at Phil? Geez, that woman's fit for her age.
Now, what a backside. She'll still give the man the hats even at 70.
George, keep your back. She'll talk to you for your buddies back home. And in front of Kevin, too.
Kevin doesn't mind. You're not going to take offense at a bit of strong language.
And sure, I'm only complimenting him on the good looks of his wife. Isn't that right, Kev?
George. No offense taken. I know you've always had a soft spot for Phil.
A soft spot for Phil? Oh, now, hold on a minute, Cap. What do you mean by that?
Nothing at all, nothing. Just a matter of speaking.
A matter of speaking? Jeez Christ, Kev, what the bloody hell are we doing halfway up a goddamn mountain in the middle of Ireland? We should be safely on our bar stools and Max having a beer.
That was the middle of Ireland, George. We're on the edge. It'll be worth the climb to see the view out over the Atlantic.
Yeah.
I think I'd climb this mountain, then lie down and die, and you can bury me in Queen Maeve's tomb up there. I'd love to be buried somewhere like that. Somewhere wild, looking out over the sea.
Kevin, don't talk like that. You live to be 100.
I don't think so, George. I don't think there's too many miles left in me. Being back here in Ireland is wonderful. I want to die here, George. I want to be buried here. Not out there in the States.
For G's sake, Kev, you're scaring me. With all these cemeteries and tombs and talk of dying, I'm getting depressed. Hey, let's catch up at Kay. Kate! Would you like to sit down for a minute?
Sure, George. Do you need a rest?
No, me. No, I'm fine. It's you. I was thinking of that stiff knee of yours.
Thanks, George. So far, so good. It's holding up well. Where's Kevin? I thought he was with you.
Oh, for God's sake, stop worrying about Kev all the time.
How can Phil be so uncaring, dragging him up a mountain like this? I don't think he even sees it.
I don't know why it bothers you all of a sudden. Weren't they always the same? Even from their courting days.
Their courting days?
Yeah.
We didn't know them in their courting days, George. Or at least I didn't. Did you?
Oh, I... Ah, for Christ's sake, Kate, how do I know? My memory's not good. What?
There's nothing wrong with your memory. It's just a bit selective.
A bit what? There you go, flinging your big words in my face. Rubbing it in that I'm the ignorant brute from a miner's family, and you're the minister's daughter.
Stop shouting, George.
Who in hell is going to hear me on this goddamn mountain? Except the dead.
Why didn't you tell me you knew Phil before she married Kevin?
I didn't.
You had an affair with her, didn't you? You had her naked, hair loose, over and over again somewhere in some cheap room.
Dad, shut your mouth, you dirty slut.
What is that? What happened?
She's okay. She just slipped. Scratched her face in a rock. Oh, let me see now, Kate. Lump.
Don't touch me.
Kev, you mop her up.
Kate, what happened? You... Oh, you've got your ring.
No. I'm 64 years old, and he's hit me. And he hadn't done it for so long, I thought it was all over. But you've always known, haven't you, Kevin?
I don't know. I always thought you loved him despite everything. He was your big bull of a man, and you loved him. Why didn't you leave him long ago, Kate?
Why didn't you leave her? Look at that view. Wasn't it worth the climb? Look, there's Ben Baldwin behind us. And Flea League to the north. And your beloved Croagh-Patrick and Mayo to the south, Kevin. Oh, look at it and drink it in, for you will never see a sight like this again.
That's wonderful. Reach me over that camera bag, George, till I take a few pictures.
No, George, give it here.
Well, what's with you? Kevin always takes a picture.
This is special. I want to take one first. Right. Okay. Right. Okay. Here, Kevin.
Thanks. Wait a minute. There's a blower here. Oh, no. Phil, the lines are scratched. How did that happen? Is it something sharp in the bag?
Never mind, Kevin. George will take lots and give you copies.
Oh.
Hey, Craig, come over here, Amy. Take a shot of you putting your stone on the can. Now, hold it. Hold it.
Well, hurry up, George. My back's killing me.
Major wish cake?
Yes, Kevin?
So, what is it?
It's a secret. Shout his secret to the stone. Kevin knows, don't you, Kevin? It's a little secret between Kevin and Kate.
Have you picked your spot yet, Kevin?
My spot?
Yeah, you said you wanted to be buried up here, remember?
No one can be buried up here. The mountain's haunted. Haunted?
Now she tells us. Drags us all up here and then tells us it's haunted.
Shh! Look.
What is it, Phil? The Virgin Mary on a donkey?
The hair. Look. See, over there. It's quite close. Watching us. Your loud voice hasn't frightened it off, George. Why do you think that is?
Maybe it's death for all its big ears. Death! Scat! Scat! Run!
Look at it watching you, George.
If I'd have numbers 3 hours, I'd have them halfway across the Atlantic with one swing. Now, come on! Run! Run! Scat! Scat! Where the goddamn did it go? Run away! Chased it.
It didn't run away. It just disappeared.
Catch yourself on, Phil. You must be getting a bit lightheaded.
You saw it, didn't you, Kate? Yeah. Didn't you notice there are no birds singing up here at all? Just the wind. The host is riding from Knocknarea and over the grave of Clúthna Bear. The winds awaken, the leaves whirl round. Our cheeks are pale, our hair is unbound. Our breasts are heaving, our eyes are agleam. Our arms are waving, our lips are apart, and of any gaze on our rushing band, we come between him and the deed of his hand. We come between him and the hope of his heart.
Phil, you're upsetting Kate.
Kate's Irish. She feels it too.
Feels what? Irish? Well, yeah, there's some in me somewhere.
It doesn't matter how far back it goes. If there's a drop of Irish blood in you, this place will speak to you. My father always said it's hard to hold on to the present up here. Past and present become one.
What the hell did you bring us up here for, to scare the shit out of us all? Give me that guide thing. I want to know exactly what this place is.
Sure, George, your good old Anglo-Saxon Scandinavian blood will stay cool up here.
Well, here it is. Knocknarea. At the summit of Knocknarea, 1078 feet above sea level, stands Miscawn Maeve, a man-made prehistoric stony mound exposed to the four winds of heaven for some 2,000 years. It is reputedly the tomb of Queen Maeve of Connaught. An envious, selfish Amazon, Maeve sacrificed whole armies of men to satisfy her merest whim. She was probably the most powerful Irish woman of all time, even attaining the status of a Celtic goddess. A goddess, huh? Well, I like to know who I'm dealing with.
Oh, Queen Maeve would have had the hots for you, all right, George. She was very partial to bulls. She'd have had you before breakfast. She never had one man, but another stood at her shoulder.
But the hair. Phil, why was the hair...
Strange things have been seen on this mountain.
The spirit of the mountain appears only once in 7 years and takes the form of a woman dressed in white, weeping. She's been seen at dusk or by night. But spirits often take the shape of hares, and hares move in broad daylight. The wind has bundled up the clouds high above Knocknarea and thrown the thunder on the stones, for all that Maeve can say.
Hey, listen to this. Your Queen Maeve was some operator. Her name means she who intoxicates. She is promiscuous, refusing to allow any king to rule in Tara who has not first mated with her. She is able to shapeshift between a young girl and an aged hag. And she is able to deprive men of their strength simply by her presence. Pity she's not around. I reckon I had a roll in the heather with her.
Maybe she is around.
Phil, here's the witch scared of the cape. She just won't be able to sleep for a week now. She'll be screaming blue murder in the middle of the night. Don't get a room next to ours for the next few days.
Leave her alone, George. Leave her alone.
I'm only trying to cheer her up. Lighten the atmosphere a bit. Christ, you're all so bloody, bloody...
morbid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the word.
This goddess of sovereignty could also be a deity of death. She brings about the death of her own husband, infuriated by his infidelity.
Oh, I love a woman with a sense of humor. She was having it off in rings around her, but couldn't turn a blind eye when he had a bit on the side. Let's pile a few more stones on her. Make sure she's well buried.
2,000 years. Is that what you said? I suppose there's nothing left of her but dust, and even that has trickled away through the stones, washed away by the rain. Phil, I want to move back to Ireland. I don't care where, Dublin, Sligo, wherever suits you, but I'm not going to end my days in that house in New York.
Kevin, we've been over and over this. I've agreed, haven't I? We're going to move back as soon as circumstances permit. I have my job to think
of. You promised to stop 3 years ago. Each year's the same. Just another 6 months. Just another year. I don't have 6 months left.
I don't talk such rubbish, Kevin McElroy. Look, you can't pressurize me by making out you're on death's door. Sure, aren't you 2 years younger than me, and you have the life of Riley sitting on your backside at home while I earn a few dollars.
How dare you say that? I worked a lifetime, saved, invested. We've more than enough money.
It's not just the money. I like my job. I'd go crazy sitting at home all day with you, entombed in that house.
And what about me? What do you think it's like for me? On my own there, day after day, bars on the windows, 3 bolts on the door for fear of burglars. I can hardly see the sky out of the window for those thick lace curtains you put up to stop anyone casing the joint. I tell you, Phil, if you don't agree to sell the New York house and move here before Christmas, I'm not setting foot on the plane next week. I'm not leaving Ireland ever again.
Hey, Phil! Where's Kevin? He's out on the path behind you.
I couldn't care less where he is. He's probably dug himself a grave up there and planted himself in it.
God, but you're a hard ticket.
The man will catch his death in this rain. With that chest of his heels.
Oh, give it a rest, George. Of course I care about Kevin. He's my husband. But I can't come back here to live. Holidays I don't mind, but this place is haunted for me. I'd die before long if I had to live elbow to elbow with all these ghosts.
What goddamn ghosts? I don't see a bloody thing but rain and more rain, stones and mud.
Look, the taxi's down there. Look, if we don't get down soon, he'll take off and leave us here and we'll all die of exposure.
This is July, George. People don't die of exposure in Ireland in midsummer.
Nah, you just scare them to death, that's all.
Fancy a roll in the heather now, Georgie boy.
Did you get off me? No, no. A bitch and he just like always.
Oh, I'm exhausted.
God almighty, would you look at the state of you. Where's the other fella? He must have gone down the south side through the glen.
The old.
That's it, Mrs. The old. That's what the old ones call it. It's no place for a man of his age to be climbing with all this rain making the rocks so sniffy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you fella. I'm dead beat. But I don't fancy tramping around any glen in this rain and bad light.
We'll have to get help. Is there someone around here could go and look for him? For a few dollars, of course.
Oh, certainly, Mrs. Look, get in, all of you. I'll take you to Malai's pub down the road. You have yourselves a hot whiskey, and the young Malai fellas will find your man before you've ordered a second round.
Good morning, Sligo County Hotel. Can I help you? Yes, certainly. I'll put you through. Oh, Terry, could you bring those bags up to room 412?
Sure.
Thanks.
There you are, Mara. Somebody hasn't touched her breakfast, then.
It's that poor Mr. McElroy. Such a nice wee man. Always did pay far too much.
Aye. They brought the poor fella in here just after I came on duty. It must have been after 2 a.m. God, I got an awful fright. I thought he was dead. He was that white. What with bits of leaves sticking to him and him covered in mud and all.
They're saying that he was found up in Knocknarea. What happened to him up there? Did he fall or something?
The men that brought him in said there wasn't a scratch on him. He was just kind of lying there with the rain bouncing off him. He must have heard them coming, but he didn't call out. How was he this morning when you saw him?
He's just lying up there staring at nothing. It put the heart out of me when I went in.
Is the wife with him?
Yeah. She was just sitting looking out of the window. Watching them all getting on the coach, I suppose. They're supposed to be leaving today. But your man's in no state to be going anywhere. Oh, listen, there's the doctor. He's probably on his way up to see him. See you later.
Hello, Doctor.
Hello, Terry.
All well at home, I hope.
Fine, thanks be to God. And yourself?
Surviving.
How's that? Poor Mr. McElroy.
Well, he's had... A bit of a rest will do wonders, I think. Give my regards to your mother, Jane.
Phil? Phil, are you there? Escape. Please, open the door.
Come in.
How is he now, Phil?
Go on in and see for yourself. I need a break. You sit with him for a while.
Right. My dear Phil. How are you feeling this morning? You had us worried last night, you know. I cried and cried to think of you out there lost on that mountain. Maybe hurt and cold. You aren't hurt. How are you getting? What is it? Are you angry with me? Did I say something up there yesterday that hurt you? If I did, please forgive me.
You're the only person I care about in the whole world.
There. I've said it. Said it now. Said what's been in my heart for years now. I love you, Kevin. And if you'll let me, I'll leave George and look after you. I'll stay here in Ireland with me. We don't have to get on that plane next week.
Kevin? Oh, my God, what's happened to you? What did you see out there to do this to you? Oh, I've left too late. And I should have said all that years ago. Can't you even look at me, Kevin? Even say goodbye? So will I go with George? Kevin. Goodbye then, Kevin.
Well, how is he this morning? How is poor old Kev?
Poor old Kev is lying up there out of his wits. And you, his great friend, George Davis, are standing here with your bags packed ready to run. What kind of a creep are you? You freeze off to finish your holiday, leaving me here standing with Kevin sick?
What do you mean? You and Kev aren't coming with us on the coach this morning.
Oh, for God's sake, don't act the innocent with me. You saw him when they brought him in last night half dead, and you didn't even bother to check on him this morning. You really are the lowest form of life, George.
I'm sorry, Phil. I just can't handle people being sick. Never could. I just got to get away, that's all. It's not that I don't care. You know how fond I am of Kevin, of you.
Well, George, like it or not, you're not getting on that coach this morning. I'm damned if I'm going to be left here with Kevin in this state. You two came on holiday with us, and you'll damn well stick with it. What in hell? I thought you were sitting with him. You mean you've left him on his own up there?
Oh, Phil, I'm so sorry. I didn't think.
You didn't think. A fine pair of friends you two have turned out to be, leaving us in this mess.
I was so confused, so upset when he didn't answer me. What's wrong with him, Phil?
How in Christ would I know, Kate, if the doctor hasn't got a clue? He mumbled something about him being in shock. I think he could speak if he wanted to. He's punishing me, trying to get me to give in to moving home to Ireland by scaring me. He should know by now I'm not easily scared.
Oh, Phil, why didn't you promise him anything just to make him speak again? To stop him staring like that? It's not Kevin. He's gone. I don't know. It's horrible.
Now look, Phil, the coach is leaving. I'm taking Kate away from here. All this is too much for her. It'll make her ill again.
You're not going anywhere, George. Sit down.
Oh, what the hell time is it? 7 a.m.
Oh, George. It must be Kevin. Maybe something...
Is that Mr. George Davis?
Yeah. Yeah, this is George Davis.
Mr. Davis, this is Sligo Garda Station.
Garda?
The police, Mr. Davis. I'm sorry for disturbing you too early, but a friend of yours has been involved in a minor car accident.
No, there must be some mistake. I don't know anyone here. I'm a visitor here, you see.
Mr. Davis, your traveling companion, Mrs. Phil McElroy, has had a slight mishap with a hired car. We won't...
Phil? What the hell was she doing in a hired car in the middle of the night?
Mrs. McElroy drove off the road near Carrimore and gave herself a bit of a fright. But thanks be to God, she's fine. At present, she's being looked after in Dr. Mulligan's surgery. I think the presence of a friend would be helpful.
She's okay, then, is she?
We'll send a car round for you, if that's all right.
Yeah, sure.
Well, Phil, what's happened to her?
What was she doing floating around in a hired car at this time of the morning? Carrollmore, wasn't that?
Has she had an accident?
She drove off the road near Carrollmore. She's okay, just a bit shook up, I think. Carrollmore, wasn't that the old graveyard near that mountain?
Well, I'd go and see how Kay.
No, the nurse would be looking after him. Now get some clothes on. Oh. The police are sending a car around for us to go and get Phil.
Oh.
It will seem a little bit, Mrs. McElroy, but we'll soon have you fixed up. Didn't you have your seatbelt now to get a gash like this on your face?
Oh. No. I probably didn't have my seatbelt on, come to think of it. I was in such a state. I fell coming down the mountain, and that's how I got this. Oh.
You fell on the mountain, on Knocknarea?
Yes.
Mrs. McElroy, you went up the mountain alone at that time of the morning?
It was crazy, I know, but I had to try. I've been sitting for days and nights now, watching Kevin's face on that white pillow, watching him slip away from me. So, last night I told the nurse I was going to get some sleep, and I rang up and hired a car. It was still dark when I drove out there. So I sat in the car park at the foot of the mountain until it started to get light. I got out of the car and started to climb the mountain. I don't know how long it took me. I just kept my eyes on the ground for fear of stumbling. I knew it was dangerous, but I groped my way through the mist. So, quite suddenly, I walked out of it and over the brow of the summit. I was very tired and out of breath. So, I shut my eyes for a moment to steady my breathing. When I opened them, the light had changed in some way. I took a few steps towards Queen Maeve's Cairn. When a giant shadowy figure rose out of the mist before me. It seemed to come from deep in the heart of the mist and move towards me, growing larger and larger, and its head was haloed with rings of bright colors. I just turned and ran.
And that's when you fell?
Yes. In the middle of that white cloud, I fell and fell again, but I made it down to the car. Am I going mad, Dr. Mulligan?
No. You're in a state of nervous exhaustion. You've had the shock of Kevin's condition and several nights without proper sleep. It's amazing the tricks the mind can play us when we're desperately tired. You said you had to climb the mountain for Kevin's sake, Mrs. McElroy. What did you mean by that?
My God! Well, what have you done to yourself? Let's have a look. Does the car look as bad as yours?
Oh, I'm okay. Are
you crazy, Phil? Driving around in the middle of the night. Well, what were you up to?
Mr. Davis, I've given Mrs. McElroy a sedative, and what she needs is some quiet and rest. Mrs. Davis,
oh,
could you...
Oh, of course, Doctor. Oh, my poor Phil. We'll take you back to the hotel now.
I'll call in on you later, Mrs. McElroy, after you've had some sleep.
Hello, Dr. Mulligan.
Hello, Mary. I've come to see how Mr. McElroy is doing.
Oh, not so well, I'm afraid. I've tried everything, but he's slipping away.
I know. Just what I feared.
It's very strange, Dr. Mulligan. They've run all possible tests, but I know they're at a loss to know what to do for him.
Look, Mary, when a person has made up their mind to die, there's nothing we can do. God help him, though, having to fight all that technology.
You think he committed...
This has nothing to do with suicide. Now, I've seen it before with older people who maybe lost a spouse recently. I think it's possible even for younger people to will themselves to die. I've read about Africans dying purely because a state of humiliation became intolerable for them. Now, my dear Mrs. Davis, please sit down here.
He says, Doctor, Kevin's dead. Why? Can you tell me why?
I can't. Only God knows that, Mrs. Davis.
I know it's hard, but the man has found peace now with God. Let him rest in peace now. Let him go.
But he wasn't sick. They could find nothing wrong with him. It was all her fault. She killed him, dragging him up that haunted mountain and refusing to come back to Ireland to live.
Mrs. McElroy, I'm so sorry.
Yes. If you'd like to wait here, Mrs. McElroy, Mr. Davis, Father McMahon will be along shortly. I'll get you all a cup of tea.
He wanted to die at home in Ireland. He got his wish.
That's my girl.
A pot of tea for two and two rounds of chicken sandwiches. Can I get you anything else, Mrs. McElroy?
No, thank you. Oh, wait, here.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. McElroy. Good night now. Good night.
Kevin always tipped me so well the first time I met him. I thought he just wanted sex. It took me a while to find out he was a gentleman. A gentle, gentle man. Yeah, he was. Poor dear Kevin. You blame me, don't you? You think I caused his death.
This isn't the time, Phil. Please, not tonight.
You think that if I'd given in, agreed to come back and live in Ireland as he wanted, he'd have suddenly sat up in bed and ordered lunch and he'd have been as right as rain again.
If it had been me, I'd have tried anything. Moved heaven and earth to keep him with me.
Don't you think I did? All those hours I sat with him over the past days and nights, I gave in all right. I cried, begged, and promised him anything. He didn't speak or give the slightest sign that he heard or even cared that I was there. And last night I tried to put it right, but I wasn't allowed to. It hasn't finished with me yet.
What was wrong with him? He must have been in some sort of a coma. Maybe he fell on that mountain.
I wish to God it was something the doctors could have pointed to and said, that's it, that's why he's dying, why he's dead. A bruise, a gash in his head, signs of a fall. But there was nothing, just the smell of earth from him when they brought him down.
Knocknarray, why did you bring us up to that accursed mountain? And why were you driving around there last night?
Accursed. Can evil really linger around a place? Can a curse inhabit a stone be passed on like a kind of contagion? You don't really believe that, Kate. Although it is dark and Kevin is lying dead in that hospital mortuary.
Please, don't go on like that, Phil. I don't know what to think anymore. I just know I felt uneasy from the very first moment you mentioned climbing that mountain. Kevin wasn't fit for that sort of exertion. He tried to tell you so himself, but you wouldn't listen. You have to have your own way, as you should.
So you're the judge now, Kate, are you? You declared me guilty. Why don't you be the jury, too, and sentence me? What kind of life am I to have now, alone, without Kevin carrying around the guilt for his death like a stone?
Please, don't go on. Let me feel. I can't bear anymore. I'm going to bed. Try to get some sleep, Phil. Take those sleeping pills the doctor gave you.
No, you take them with you. I don't want them.
Good night, then.
How drunk are you, George?
Mm.
I suppose I won't get a sensible word out of you tonight.
Not drunk enough. I cannot seem to get properly drunk tonight.
Not for want of trying, I suppose. I think I'll do the same. A double whiskey, please.
Oh, come on now, Phil. You haven't touched this stuff in years. Why don't you take a couple of sleeping pills and go to bed?
No, George, I don't want to sleep. I just can't face it tonight. Thank you. Every time I go to sleep, I have the same bloody dream. What do I do tonight? Wake up terrified, sweating, and no Kevin. God, I'd be howling around this hotel like a mad woman. They'd lock me up. Do you want to know what the dream is about?
God, it's not about me, is it?
Good old George. I knew you'd cheer me up. You could always make me laugh, George. Kevin couldn't do that. He could comfort me and protect me and cherish me, but he couldn't make me laugh. That's why I've never been able to quite part with you, Georgie Borgie.
Well, there's me thinking it was my sexual prowess kept you hanging around. And all I had to do was tell you a joke. Women.
Do you think it would have been better if Kevin hadn't taken me so seriously?
Poor old Kev. You really gave him the runaround. He should have given you a good beating and sorted out who was boss.
Ah, for God's sake, George. I wouldn't have stayed with him for 5 minutes if he'd done that. How come you never tried to beat me the way you battered Kate?
What do you mean? I never laid a finger.
Whatever you say, George.
So what is it about this dream of yours?
A dream. Oh, it goes a long way back. It's to do with the last client you ever fixed me up with.
Client? Don't go raking up the past now, Phil. Not tonight, of all nights.
It's not a matter of raking it up, George. It's here, all around me, waking or sleeping. I can't escape it. I'm not having a go at you, George. I just need to talk about it to someone who knows who I was then. Now Kevin's gone, there's no one to pull me out of that dream.
You're so scared of a dream? Doesn't figure. I thought you were scared of nothing. You're not turning into a sniveling bag of nerves like Kate, are you?
I tell you this, if Kate had lived with this dream as long as I have, she'd have topped herself years ago.
Okay. So tell me what's so terrible about it. Scared the shit out of me the way you did with that hare on that mountain.
Like I said, it was that last client you fixed me up with.
Oh, you make me sound like a pimp. I was just doing a few good turns. Helping you to make a few easy bucks.
That's okay, George. That's the way I saw it, too. You never took a penny off me.
They were always good, solid business types. With a wife and kids back home. I never set you up with any weirdos.
No, George, you didn't. Though, when you suggested I turn a trick with your boss, you remember? He was the very first one. I knew then you had no intention of ever marrying me. So, I went along with it.
Marrying you? We never talked about marriage. We had some great times, but for God's sake, you weren't the marrying type. Anyway, I hadn't got $2 then. Couldn't have afforded to marry then.
No.
Hey, some service here. Same again.
But the last one...
Oh, for God's sake. Can't we leave it out and just get drunk?
No, listen. It's a short enough story. You said it was a really well-off guy. A tourist just in town for a few days. You gave me a room number at the Bay Hotel. It was the afternoon, broad daylight. I found the right room. I rang the bell. The door was open on a remote control device, and I went in. It was a really plush place. Wonderful view out over the bay. I said, hello, anyone at home? There was no sound, so I walked over to what I thought must be the bedroom door. It was slightly open. I pushed it open slowly. There was a huge bed that almost seemed to fill the room. The place was all done up in black and white. The bed was covered with a black satin quilt. There was an old man in the bed. The cover was pulled up almost to his chin. I could see his face because his head was propped up on one of the black satin pillows. His hair looked so white against the black satin.
So? You thought he was too old? Well, did he do something really weird to you or what?
No. The man was my father. He lay there with his eyes open, brimming with tears, and looked at me.
Oh, jeez. Listen, fella, couldn't it be? I can't remember who the guy was, but he was from upstate New York or somewhere. Maybe he looked like your father, and it gave you a queer
color. No, George, it was my father lying there. Around. I don't remember how I got home or got through the next weeks and months. I started drinking, remember?
Yeah, I remember that, okay. Jeez, Phil, why did you go to pieces like that? Well, it gave you fright. You felt guilty, maybe. I don't know, I'm no shrink. But it wasn't your father.
I might have got over it, okay. Sure, I said all those things to myself, trying to pull myself together. Well, a couple of weeks later, they finally reached me with the news. They'd been trying to trace me, you see. I'd moved around so much. I got the news then that my father had died. On that afternoon, the afternoon I saw him in that hotel room.
You want another drink?
It was in the middle of it all that I met Kevin. He came to the restaurant night after night and sat staring at me. Finally, he took me home. He listened, you see. I told him the whole story. All the crap of my life.
Well, that's why he took up the poor old camp. And he still married you after all that.
Thanks, George.
Stay on. You're going to fall off that bloody stool. Now, where are you going?
I am going to bed.
What about the dream?
Okay. If I dream it tonight, I'll just stay there in the dream. And I'll speak to him this time.
Hey, give me another double.
Philomena, sorry for your trouble. You've lost a fine husband, sir. One in eight to the children, eh? One in eight to the gentlemen.
Thank you. My dear Philomena, who'd have thought a week ago I'd be seeing you again so soon and in such sad circumstances? Sure, I hadn't laid eyes on you for years. And now to be attending your poor husband's funeral barely a week after.
Thank you, Nora. It's very good of you to come so far, all the way from...
From Dublin. Sean has his practice in Dublin now.
Ach, now. When I saw the notice of Kevin's death in the Irish Times, I had to make the effort.
You'll join us for some lunch in O'Mahony's, I hope.
O'Mahony's? That would be the...
You must excuse me. There are so many people I have to greet.
Oh, hello. God of almighty, Sean. Just not having a funeral meal in O'Mahony's. What dump? Kevin's people will be scandalized.
Oh, no, sure. Maybe it's been done up since.
We'll soon see. Everyone's moving off.
I'm very sorry, Mrs. McElroy. We're doing our best. Now, you did make the booking for around 20 people, give or take a few. There's more than twice that number here. And we're also serving our lunches downstairs. This is a busy day here in the town with the livestock...
God, what can you expect in the back hole of beyond? Isn't a man's funeral more important than feeding a crowd of fat farmers?
Mrs. McElroy, I am very sorry for your trouble. And I know how upset you are on such a day. And I assure you we'll do our best to entertain all your guests. Now, you for the love of God, go down the street and get a few pound of mints till we get these ones fed. It's no wonder your man is in his grave at a charge like that, nagging him from morning till night. And they say she's made of money, but his name is Geralt.
Teresa, I'm very pleased to meet you. You must be, let me see now,
I'm a sister-in-law of Kevin, a married sister to me.
God, yes, of course. A terrible loss to you all. I never had the pleasure of knowing Kevin well, but a saint of a man by all accounts.
He was. He was a terrible night for you. Man. Quiet, you know.
And you're one of Kevin and Philomena's American friends.
Yes, that's right.
My name's Kate Davis. My husband George and I have been traveling with
you. And indeed I know. Didn't I meet you in the best of form only a week ago? I'm Philomena's cousin, Nora.
Oh, yeah. I remember you called her Philomena. I never knew her name was Philomena.
You never knew her name? name was Philomena. Sure, I thought you were old friends. Yes, but, well, I always called her Phil. She always called herself Phil. I just thought it was short for Philippa.
Philippa? Oh, God, no! And I shouldn't be laughing with the Davids in it. She can't have talked much about her past, then, I take it.
But then I suppose there's a lot of people in America with something to hide.
Really? I don't think...
Has she to hide?
You don't know, then, about what?
Oh, now. I think I've already said too much. If Kevin chose not to tell you, I must respect that. I would never be one to stir up bitterness or create trouble in a family.
Whatever about stirring up bitterness, I've never liked her. Kevin was wasted on her. Oh, I always knew there was something not right about it all. Why, it was years before he brought her home to meet us. It hurt his brother Liam so much that
it's just struck me. I wonder if Kevin himself know about John. Maybe she never told him. Did they marry in a Catholic church over there?
I have no idea. I didn't meet them till after. I mean, when I met them, they were already married a while.
But your husband George was a friend of Philomena's from she arrived in the States, so he was telling me. He would have been at their wedding.
George told you
he was one of her first boyfriends, apparently. Said she was a real stunner in those days, but I don't know about that. She was always good-looking, I suppose.
Excuse me. I must get some air.
Are you all right, dear? You look very pale.
Well, it's just so stuffy in here. I'll be fine. Thanks.
She seems to be really knocked out by Kevin's death. She must have been genuinely fond of her.
Aye. She looks like you'd expect his wife to look. White as a sheet and numb with grief.
Not like our dear Philomena, doing her best to charm the men as usual, even at her husband's funeral. She has that poor duck mesmerized by the look of him.
Oh, where? Sean! Excuse me.
Next time I'm in the States in business, I'll certainly look you up.
John, it's time we were going. We've a long drive ahead of us, and I'm not feeling at all well. You know how Mids disagrees with my ulcer.
Laura, sure, it's early. We've had it.
I'll find you the car.
Why aren't you going to... I'm sorry, Phil. I don't know what to get into her walking out without taking a leap.
Ah, that's okay, Sean. Don't give it a thought.
If there's ever anything I can do, I have your address and number safely here.
Thanks, Sean. She's a lucky woman, you're Nora, to have her good, kind man with her still.
And I'll be praying for you.
Thanks, Sean. Stay home now.
One of your old balls, Phil?
Well, I could have had him if I'd wanted him. I didn't want him then. But I sure could do with him now.
Let me get you a drink.
God, they'd all go home now. They've had their feed at my expense.
It's amazing. Big turnout for a man who's been away from...
46 years this autumn. He went to the States when he was 23. The father died and left the farm to the elder brother, so there was nothing for it but to emigrate.
Poor old Kevin. Tough. He made it good, though. Worked bloody hard all those years. Left you well set up, didn't he, Phil?
Oh, well. I'll certainly keep on my job, and I'll have to be careful.
Look, Phil, take my advice. Enjoy the money. You can't take it with you.
Oh, Phil, I didn't get a chance to say how sorry we are about Kevin. We're all terribly shocked and saddened by his death.
Thank you, Teresa. Yes, it is a terrible shock. It all happened so suddenly.
What exactly did happen?
What do you mean? Kevin died.
But there must have been a reason, a cause. What did the doctor say? I mean, his family have a right to know.
Well, go and look at his death certificate, then. It says cardiorespiratory failure. Go ask the doctors in Sligo General Hospital.
Oh, please, don't get upset, but I have to ask. Because all the mystery surrounding Kevin's death is upsetting my Liam. And his health is precarious enough without this blow.
There is no mystery. What are you inferring talking about a mystery?
There has been talk. People from Sligo have talked about him being found half dead on Knocknarea Mountain. How did it come that he was...
Here you are, Phil. Sure, whiskey will perk you.
George, this is my sister-in-law, Teresa McElroy, and I would like you to tell her exactly what happened in Knocknarea and about Kevin's death a few days later, because I am too upset to continue this conversation.
What have you been saying to her? She was fine a minute ago.
Well, I'm sorry she's upset, but we're all desperately upset, too. Please, Mr. Davies, tell me what happened.
Well, we decided to make a little trip to the mountain, Knocknarea, to experience the real Ireland, as Phil and Kevin put it.
It was Kevin's idea, too.
Yeah, well, he seemed happy enough. He thought it was wonderful when we got up there. Took photos and stuff. Said he liked it so much he wanted to be buried up there.
Buried?
Yeah, well, but I mean, it was just talk, you know.
But he was found in the early hours of the morning.
Yeah, well, he and Phil had had a bit of a row. Nothing unusual on that. And then we all headed down the mountain. It was raining then, and it was only when we were down that we realized Kevin wasn't on the path behind us.
Didn't you wait or look for him?
No, we're not youngsters, you know. We weren't fit to go back, so the taxi said he'd get a few local boys to look for him.
And you went back to your lovely, cozy hotel and left Kevin out there, lying hurt in the rain.
No, it wasn't.
I need to go home now. I'm not feeling the best.
Right, Liam. I'll ask Hugo to get the car.
I'll just take my leave of Philomena. Philomena, I'm away now. And you'll come to Balmullan to see us now, won't you?
Thank you, Liam. I really appreciate that.
When are you heading back to the States?
Oh, we fly for...
We'll go back home again to us, but no. It wasn't to be.
No, it wasn't. Now, take good care of yourself now.
I will,
Hugo will take it on to the car, Liam. I'll be with you now. Only that it would kill Liam if I made a scene. I force you to tell me the truth. But one thing I want to know... Who was John? Who told you about John? So she was right. You have something to hide.
Who said I have something to hide? Nora?
Yes, your own cousin, Nora.
Take your husband home out of this or I'll make a scene and finish him off.
I'm going. And don't ever darken our door again.
George, get me another drink. My God, I can't wait to shake the clay of this place off my shoes and get back to New York. So much for family. They do nothing but accuse and punish. What's wrong with you, George? You look as if you've seen a ghost. Ha ha. My niece, Josephine. You see the resemblance, then?
My God, Phil. She looks just the way you did when I met you. Absolutely bloody beautiful.
Last call for Aer Lingus flight EI-1105, now boarding at gate 2. All passengers, please proceed to departure gate immediately.
George, please, come on. We'll miss our plane. They've already announced it. George is drunk. Right, George. Put an arm on Kate's shoulder and the other here. Is he up? Oh, God! My nose is bleeding.
Look at me. I'm covered in blood. Kate, come to the toilet and help me to get cleaned up. George can sort himself out.
No, but
would you come on?
I'm sorry.
Oh, your good white jacket is ruined. Look at my bag. There were some white... Here they are. God.
Phil, what's this?
We get a handy over the white, for God's sakes. I don't want it to start bleeding.
Phil, what's this stone doing in your bag?
Never mind that now.
It's a stone from the mountains.
I meant to put it back that day, but what? With the row with Kevin and everything.
What do you mean, put it back?
Did you take it from the cave?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The curse has come upon me, cried the Lady of Shalott.
You mean you were going to carry that thing out to the plane?
Well, it didn't make the plane crash on the way over, did it? So I don't think it'll make any difference now.
You had it on the plane on the way over? How could you? You're not bringing that thing on any plane I'm traveling.
Don't be ridiculous.
Please, throw it away.
No, I can't do that.
But then I will.
Oh, for God.
Oh, oh my God! Look what you've done. I know this bringing it in. Jesus! Oh, but this has been a murder in here.
The plane. Please,
the plane. We must go to
the plane.
It can't.
I'm very sorry, madam, but the flight was called several times. It was already late, so it couldn't be further delayed.
But you're lovely. It must be.
Let me see Mrs. Davis. Yes. I'm afraid your luggage has gone ahead. Your husband checked it in and he boarded the plane.
George has gone?
Yes, madam. A Mr. George Davis boarded the plane and the luggage on his ticket was loaded. One suitcase was left behind as it hadn't been claimed. That of a Mrs. P. McElroy.
Oh, that's mine. Where can I pick it up?
I have it brought round for you.
But George, George was drunk. He couldn't have.
Mr. Davis was quite inebriated, but we would hesitate to deny a passenger.
Oh, my God, he's got my ticket.
Oh, poor old Kate. I suppose you've nothing. No cash, no credit card, no ticket back home.
No, I'm sure we can.
Oh, please, don't concern yourself. Luckily, I can look after my friend. We'll go and reserve two seats for tomorrow.
Tomorrow? But are there any more flights today?
I'm sorry, but that was Kate.
Here's some cash. Go and buy a coffee and I'll sort out flights and the hotel, etc. I'll join you shortly.
Okay, Phil.
You feeling better now, Kate?
Oh, yeah I am. Thank goodness you have your credit cards and things, Phil.
And what about old George managing to get himself safely onto the plane? Not so drunk after all.
I'll kill him when I get home.
Yeah, don't be too hard on him. He's probably so drunk that he'll not miss you till he wakes up in New York.
Is the hotel far away?
Well, we could have stayed nearer the airport, but I thought since we have some time to kill, I could take care of some unfinished business.
What unfinished business? Phil, where are we going?
Relax, Kate. I have everything under control. You know, you were right about the stone. It would have been tempting fate to get in that plane with it in my bag. And look at the way things worked out, missing the plane. Don't you see? It was all meant to be. It hasn't finished with me yet.
Where are we going, Phil?
We are going to Sligo to put back the stone where it belongs.
No! No, let me out! Stop the car! I'm not going back there! Never again! What are you doing? Are you trying to kill us both?
Get out there! I'll go and do it alone! What are you waiting for?
It's raining. I have no money.
No. Don't get so hysterical. We'll simply drive to Knocknarea, climb the mountain, put back the stone, and be in Shannon for the flight tomorrow afternoon.
Where is the stone?
It's in my bag in the boot.
Are you afraid we might crash?
If we do, we do.
You already had a crash in the car, didn't you? The morning of Kevin's death. You drove off the road. You were trying to put back the stone.
Yes.
So why didn't you?
I almost got to the Kern when I lost my nerve and ran down the mountain and fell and cut my face.
You lost your nerve? I don't believe you.
I was in a state of exhaustion and desperately anxious about Kevin. Suddenly the sun came up and I just thought I saw a shadow. Dr. Mulligan explained it was all just the result of stress and exhaustion.
And it was later that same day that Kevin died.
Yes.
No. I can't go up that mountain again. Something terrible will happen.
I wish I'd never laid eyes on you.
It might interest you to know that I've had the stone since the first day you laid eyes on me. I was 19 years old when I took it from the mountain.
It was just a prank then.
No, it was much, much more. It was the worst day of my life. The day I let my father talk me into marrying John.
John? So Nora was right. She kind of inferred that you'd been married before to someone called John. You walked out on him.
Yes, I walked out on him and disappeared into America.
Did he beat you?
No, he didn't beat me. He was kind and decent and rich, and he bored me to death.
You left him because he bored you?
No, I left him because I didn't love him and I wanted to find love again. I knew what love was.
At 90...
The only man I ever loved passionately was Hugh, my father's best friend. He was middle-aged with 5 grown-up children. When my parents found out about us, they whisked me off to Sligo on holiday. My father brought me up to Knocknarea to talk some sense into me. He had never so much as smacked me all the years I was growing up. But that day, up there in Knocknarea, he got into such a rage that he caught me by the shoulders and shook me and shook me. So I gave in and agreed to marry John. Nice, decent young John who was crazy about me, whom I despised. My father was so pleased. He hugged me and set off down the mountain again with a real spring in his step. He kept calling back to me to hurry up. That was when I picked up the stone.
But you didn't know it carried a curse.
Sure, I knew all about the curse. My father had filled my head with stories about it as a child. I used to lie in bed and wonder what would happen if Queen Maeve's curse did fall on you. I imagined I would get smallpox or some terrible illness and be scarred for life if I stole a stone from the Cairn.
And it was my dear Kevin who suffered in the end. And that poor young man, John.
Your dear Kevin. You may have been in love with Kevin, but he certainly didn't love you. He adored me from the moment he laid eyes on me. He only pitied you. Now I'm tired of my eyesight, so keep quiet. Let me drive or we'll end up wrapped around a tree.
Come on, we're nearly there. There's no mist today. It's so clear. You can see for miles. But I never thought I'd have to set eyes on that pile of stones again.
Come over this way a bit. And you can look down into the old.
Kevin was found lying somewhere down there, wasn't he? But it's so steep. How could he have gone down this way?
You can work your way around from that side. He must have gone down that way and tried to walk through the cleft. In a cleft that's christened Alt, under a broken stone I halt, at the bottom of a pit that broad moon has never lit, and shout a secret to the stone. So simply done after all this time.
You're doing! Don't lift it again!
It's just I've had it so long now. It seems strange to leave it here and go away. I carried it from one shabby room to another all those years. I almost threw it away a couple of times. But when I held it in my hand, there was always a danger in it, and that stopped me. And I was back there. It seems dead. Meaningless.
I'm sorry, Eva. I lost control of myself for a moment. It was the thought of Kevin lying out. And you and George all those years.
Look, George married you. He thought I wasn't respectable enough to marry.
So you got your dividend. The big house, money.
Let's go down. Oh, I feel so cold.
Look, someone's up there. It's a man and a girl, bending over the cairn. He's heading down this way.
Stand over here, officer.
Come along, dear. Your mother will be worried about us.
I didn't seem to see us. She looked so... She was holding something and her hand was bleeding. There was blood on her white dress.
Saddle and ride, I heard a man say, out of Ben Bulben and Knocknarea. What says the clock in the great clock tower? All those tragic characters ride, but turn from Ross's crawling tide, a slow, low note and an iron bell.
Shout a Secret to the Stone was written by Jane Cassidy. Phil was Stella McCusker, and Pat Laffin was George. Kevin was Padder Lamb, and Kate was Margaret Darcy. Tim Lone was the driver, and John Hewitt was the Garda Sergeant. Maureen Dow was Maura, Paddy Scully was Terry, J.J. Murphy was Dr. Mulligan, and the hotel receptionist was Trudy Kelly. The waitress was Farrell Fleming. Shout a Secret to the Stone was directed in Belfast by Pam Brighton.
The music was composed and sung by Jane Cassidy, piano by Rod McVeigh, and whistle and cello by Neil Martin.